Thank you. All lines are now bridged.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Trust Exchange Framework Task Force. We'll call the meeting to order, starting with roll call. We have Denise Webb.
Present.
Arian Malik.
I'm here.
Carolyn Peterson.
I'm here.
Aaron Meary.
Here.
John Kansky.
I'm here.
Cheryl Turney. We have Cheryl on. I think that's all. We'll circle back. Sasha Termott.
Present.
Steve Reedy.
Here.
Cynthia Fisher. No Cynthia yet. Anil Jain. No Anil. Kate Goodrich. Okay. Andy Trostat.
Here.
David McKelly.
Here.
Mark Savage.
Here, thanks.
Noah Martz.
I'm here.
And Grace Turrell.
I'm here, but in a tornado and hail warning, so I will probably leave in a little bit and dial back in once I've gotten to a better place.
Yes, please be safe. Thank you, Grace.
Stay safe, yeah.
Okay, Denise and Arian, I turn it over to you.
Cool. All right. Should we go to our last, the last spot that we were in, which...
I can tell you where we were. It was right after individual access, I
yep.
believe. And that was on, let's see here, page 12.
Yep.
Yep. And I think we're on the recommendation about ONC should require individual access and treatment permitted uses.
And so the basic point here was that the ability, the amount of production use and production testing for those two use cases allows them to be scaled more broadly, and that other uses and disclosures require broader scale testing.
I don't see any hands up. So, group's good with that?
This is David. I'll raise my hand and make a comment at the same time. There's a couple of places, Arian, where I think it's probably worthwhile mentioning that the U.S. CDI needs to be kept in sync with the use cases.
We do that with SSA. Are there other cases that
payment,
public health, payment, yeah.
Payment and public health, both, right? It just is a general principle. It's overarching. Some of the permitted purposes are not in sync with the current U.S. CDI document. So
I'm going to take a better effort this time to write in a way that is not equivalent to a one-way hash. So the U.S. CDI data standards, not data standard, but whatever, need to be harmonized. Maybe the best statement here is that it's really designed for individual access and for treatment-based use cases. The current U.S. CDS.
Yeah, maybe the word aligned versus harmonized, because harmonized
yeah,
means
I
something
like
in the standards world.
Yeah.
I like aligned because it's a timing issue as much as anything. You can't, expect interchange about something that hasn't yet been standardized on the data side.
Yeah. Okay. And public health is one of those areas where it's I've been thinking a lot about Noam's proposed language, but public health is one of those areas where right now each of the individual public health cases have, in some cases, separate CDA templates for them. Maybe we can make a comment on public health.
Right, but in that case, remember the public health permitted purpose is executed through the lens of what is legally permissible in a jurisdiction, and the notion that the minimum amount of information that public health requires is what's supposed to be transmitted. So to ding it, if that's what you're doing, for sort of lack of alignment, by definition, it's not completely aligned because it shouldn't be.
So, just to gloss that more, the issue I think that David is pointing out, and this is a specific example of that issue, is that the U.S. core data set that's defined for meaningful use is defined to provide a fairly broad and non-specific set of data attributes. But if you look at, for example, infectious disease reporting or lab, high priority lab reporting for public health, or any of the other additional public health use cases, they often require very specific subsets of data that include more data and more detail than are currently in the US CDS.
Okay, that's fine.
So Arian, so what we want to say in here is that the US CDI needs to be aligned with
each of the permitted purposes. So we make that case, we make that statement with respect to SSA. But it's I think David's pointing out, it's a much more prevalent and broader issue.
Okay.
Yeah, and a friendly clarification for Noam's part, I was more dinging the U.S. CDI than I was anything else.
That's the key point.
Right, I think we're leading off with that the U.S.
Yeah.
CDI needs to be aligned,
yeah.
not the
yeah.
other way around.
Exactly.
Yeah, we have a dependency upon that.
Right.
Yeah. Okay,
right.
We have Mark in the queue next.
Sorry.
So actually, I'm realizing I'm not sure where we are. Are we at the recommendation on the top of the page that we can see? The one that begins.
The recommendation.
Should
require individual access and treatment permitted uses and disclosures.
Okay, then let me just put my hand down. But I will add, I agree about aligning with U.S. CDI, but flag whether it's worth also mentioning the 2015 edition and the CCDS, because there's some things that are seem to me, at least, to be resolved at this moment in time within the 2015 edition that are opened up a little bit with the U.S. CDI. We'd want alignment with what's in structure and already designed as well as what's to come.
Yeah, and it's not our role. It's really the U.S. CDI task force that's supposed to be making comments on the U.S. CDI. I think our role here with respect to the TEF task force is to note that that we do need to align the U.S. CDI for each of the non-individual access and treatment permitted uses and disclosures. Mm-hmm. I see Genevieve and then Noam.
Yeah, so just one thing that you guys might want to clarify. There's two ways that you could be talking about this, and I'm not completely clear which way you're talking about it. There's the concept of you need to expand the US CDI to support a particular permitted purpose, which is one way to look at it. The other way that you could be talking about it is not all US CDI in the current list is required for each of the permitted purposes, and so you could be talking about just trying to have a version of the US CDI for each permitted purpose, but with the existing US CDI version, and I don't know that you guys really were being quite clear on that.
Yeah, and I'm not sure at this stage that we, I mean, it's probably worthwhile making both comments. I think David's original comment on SSA came out of experience that Commonwealth had about taking USCDS and the profiled consolidated CDA, and noting that SSA in many cases was happy to get all that detail, but really needed more specific detail relating to disability benefits adjudication. So in most of these cases, it's not so much that people don't like getting the additional detail, they just won't use it. It's more that there's more specific detail that they need specific to disability benefits adjudication or public health reporting or risk adjustment or HEDIS measurement or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I can look at the same thing from a quality measurement perspective in the sense that the the consolidated CDS, the consolidated CDA, I'm getting so confused at this point. The consolidated CDA has that conforms to the US CDS has sufficient detail to adjudicate many clinical quality measures, but it falls down in some very predictable areas. For example, any clinical quality measure that requires, assessments and assessment data tends not to be well standardized with respect to quality measurement. So again, each of these areas has their own set of issues where there's more specific data that's needed to do thing X that you're looking for. And so Genevieve, I think it's more on the you need more specific data side, not that you need less data side, but I think it's probably worthwhile mentioning both.
Yeah, I think if you could just clarify that, and then the other sort of clarification maybe you guys made at some point is, are you saying that a permitted purpose shouldn't be supported unless you have all of that data? Or are you saying you can still do the permitted purpose but recognize you're going to need more data than that?
Yeah, it's more the latter.
And regardless, they have to be in sync.
Yeah.
And you could scope one up or scope one back to get them in sync, but it would be ill-advised to expect broad-scale exchange for a permitted purpose for which there isn't an agreement on the data to be exchanged. It's a tautology almost, but it doesn't warrant being called out.
Yep.
But also to note, one of the points about the common clinical data set is it was supposed to be available with all the referrals and transitions of care, and it was supposed to be available for individual access. It was a common clinical data set, so I'm not sure where the notion of limiting it, of paring it down for particular permitted uses would make sense. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I think the thought is to be expanding it, actually.
To expand
it, correct,
more specific.
Yeah.
It would
right.
add specific needs that are missing.
Yes, agreed.
Well, should we be clear that we are not going to seek to define what the data set is, and that we leave that put fundamentally to USCDI as part of their data definitions for any particular domain?
Correct. We're just noting there's
just say
alignment
that.
Necessary. Yep. Yeah, totally. Okay. I want to get back onto the, because we do have a queue, and let people who are patiently raising their hand actually get the benefit from it. So Noam, David, and then Mark.
Yeah, just real quick on this, and I'll go back again. There is actually in the public health permitted use, there are times when public health does not want everything in that data set and okay. or cannot legally have everything in that data set. So that is a factor. So I think that this US CDI door swings both ways. There are times when you need more that's in the data set, and there are times where you should send less than what's in the data set.
Right, and there's also HIPAA minimum necessary that comes into play here.
Which I think is important. It's not clear to me that anyone abides by it.
So there's cases where it needs to expand and cases where it needs to contract. Okay.
Right, but I don't want to ignore the contracting one because at some point a couple of people said no, you should always send sort of the base case. And at one point, Aaron, you said, well, nobody sort of cares if they get extra data. Well, I don't think that's true, actually. I mean, look at these gigantic clinical summaries that come.
Absolutely fair. Yeah, so absolutely fair. I think this dialogue has been very, very enlightening and incredibly helpful. Let's go to David and then Mark.
Okay, so I'm going to change the subject, if that's okay, to this question about the particular recommendation here. And it's a wonky point, and maybe it's not worth calling out, but I made a note in my own notes, so I'll mention it, which is that in the prolegomena right before this recommendation, there's some discussion about the fact that patients might have been identity proofed into their own portals at different levels of assurance than would be required by other providers in their portals, and that information is not currently being communicated. But we don't mention that in the recommendation, and I'm wondering if that's worth calling out, that profiling should include better constraints on how level of assurance is communicated across requests, or is that just too wonky for where we are?
Yeah, that was the intent of that are sufficient to enable broad-scale individual access, but it might be worthwhile putting in a little parenthesis.
Yeah, maybe a parenthesis is sort of including clarification on levels of assurance or required minimum levels of assurance or something like that, or communicating levels of assurance. It just seemed like the point got dropped. That was my only concern.
Yeah, so parenthetical EG.
Yeah.
Okay.
Arian, I think Mark's next in the queue, but we did get some comments from Mark, and I don't know, Mark, if you're going to mention it, that you had highlighted on this recommendation that you had said no to the other uses and disclosures, require broader scale testing, and require additional standards and policies, and subsequently should be phased in later. I'm not sure what you were saying no to, so maybe you can address that when you speak.
Yeah, that was exactly, I find myself still a little disoriented, and I'm sure it's just me. So I think I'm going back to make sure that because I don't think we had closure on the previous recommendation, if I've got our current place correct, which is the one that says ONC should require individual access and treatment. Other uses and disclosures require broader scale testing and require additional standards and policies. But I remember that we were talking about this on Friday. I don't remember that we had closure on that on Friday. Happy to address that further if this is the time.
Yeah, so if I remember the conversation that we had on Friday, it was wanting to make sure that we were clear that at this stage we're not prioritizing saying X use case is more important than Y use case. We're saying X use case is ready to go nationally, Y use case is not ready to go nationally, and those are two very different statements. And maybe that context did not get in, clearly that context did not get into this current draft.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the current language, which does say go with some and others need to wait. And that's in the comments that I shared over the weekend. I pointed out that the definition of each of the permitted use cases refers to existing activity that has been going on for a while, and so it doesn't make sense. And the draft that came out did not prioritize the six use permitted purposes, but instead said they are all six permitted purposes. So I would suggest that we not talk about some are ready for prime time and others are not ready for prime time. Shortchange the phrase.
Yeah, so that would be an area where I'd personally, I think it would be useful to get additional feedback. It'd be an area where I personally believe in the statement that we're making that some permitted purposes are well-tested and other permitted purposes are not well-tested. I see David and John have their hands up.
Yeah, I mean, I do think we need some staging and prioritization. I think that was the purpose of our vote on the meaning of the on-ramp to some degree, or recognition that you maybe it's not right to start by trying to do all these things all at once. And I think it's extremely important to acknowledge the things that are well understood and tested in real-world deployments versus the things that aren't yet tested, and don't treat them as equal in terms of looking for early returns on the investment in the TEF. So we've talked about a floor and staging and testing and evolution of use cases. I think that's the only practical way to go. It doesn't preclude doing anything. It just says do it in a thoughtful, stepwise manner that the industry can participate in and keep up with. So,
yeah, and David, just the gloss there is that that point can be easily misinterpreted. So I think it's very important that our recommendations make it clear the distinction between prioritization based on level of testing versus prioritization based on level of need and importance. In this recommendation, we're really focused on prioritization based on level of testing. Now, we could have task force disagreement on whether other permitted purposes are well tested, but that's a different point from saying, you know, in some sense, one's more important or one's less important.
Yeah, I agree. All those are independent factors that need to be aligned. You know, witness the Dixie Baker paper and many other work that was done in the past on ensuring that that systems are ready to do the intended purpose before you actually expect them to do it. Okay.
John?
Yeah, thanks. I'm weighing in, I think, in general agreement with Arian and David. Hopefully I'm not stating the obvious, but the desire or the recommendation to ONC that things be prioritized, staged, tiered, whatever it is in the best interest of success. I mean, I think I speak for myself only, but I think others, this is the logic behind some aspects of suggesting prioritization, is that we don't think we can eat the sandwich in one bite. We don't think the nation can eat this sandwich in one bite, and therefore we're trying to provide recommendations that are in the best interest of TEFCA being accepted and adopted.
Thank you. By the way, I see in the chat somebody asking the question about the minority and majority recommendations. We should probably go back to that. I believe at this stage we have the answer to the question is, you know, if group two and, you know, position two and position three are combined, does it become a majority opinion? And the answer is right now at best we could do is a 50% split. So with regard to people who are concerned about labeling majority minority, we will not in the final version or the next version of this, which needs to be the final version, or at least pretty close, will not label either of these recommendations as majority minority. Instead, we will represent the task force as essentially split on this issue.
And Arian, does that mean we're dropping the third? I know Noam suggested in his written comments to us that there was three and that we dropped the third entirely?
I believe there the third actually had the second most number of votes. So I think the suggestion on the floor would really be whether you combine the second and the third into one, in effectively into the third.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's what he was.
Well, it's confusing, Arian, because at one point you reversed the order in the draft. So now I'm not sure what anyone means by second or third.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Let's just define. Yeah. So let's define the ordering right now as, or maybe we just provide appropriate labels. But there is essentially the concentrate on nationwide query position. There is the concentrate on nationwide query and other high priority use cases or other high priority needs. Noam, your reformulation of that is concentrate on nationwide query and other forms of exchange necessary to achieve the permitted purposes. And the last position is establish a true single on-ramp with respect to all forms of exchange. And so right now, the voting is effectively half of the task force has voted for focus on query-based exchange, understanding that that may not be 100% sufficient for all of the permitted uses or all of the permitted purposes. Second most number of votes on establish a true single on-ramp for all forms of exchange, and then a couple of votes for focus on query and other capabilities as necessary to achieve permitted purposes. So anyway, that's the current standing. Lauren, do I have, based on how we've counted all the votes, do I have that wrong? I want to make sure that we're...
Yep, that is correct, yep. And we do have one member that did not vote, so...
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that's the order we do currently have them in the
that's
draft.
Right.
It goes from just query-based to the whole kitchen sink to underserved high-priority areas, which I think... That was the one that had two votes.
That's right. So
and
this
that's
point,
the number three that Noam's referring
yeah.
to in his note.
Okay.
Right, Noam?
So, yes, though I'm still a little confused about all this, but so I'm trying to just go back to some of my own notes.
Okay.
Okay. But again, with respect to this, the final draft will not note will not use the words majority or minority because we haven't established that. I think it's fair to say that the task force is essentially split on these
split.
Issues.
Yep.
John, I see your hand still up. Did you mean to put it down or did you mean to be back in the queue? Back.
I just
okay,
put
good.
It down.
Thanks. All right. Let's go to the SSA case, which I think we've established is effectively a subset of a broader case that we just discussed. So it needs to be revised to indicate the broader case. Is that a fair statement of the sense of the task force?
That's what I was hearing, Arian.
Aaron, I agree.
Say it one more time, Arian. I was distracted.
The SSA comments here end up being subsets to the broader discussion that we just had relating to aligning the US CDI with each of the use cases beyond individual access and treatment.
Yes, yeah. Although the fee discussion is different.
The fee discussion, yeah. So.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is a fee discussion with individuals also. Actually, both of them have a fee discussion, but different points being made.
Yes. Yes. So there actually is a whole cluster of issues relating to US CDI and a whole cluster of issues relating to fee disparity issues. I think the fee disparity issues are clearest with SSA because they've established a common and transparent fee structure.
So, Arian, maybe what we should do
a broader set of issues. Yeah.
Maybe what we should do is split this recommendation and take the portion out about the US CDI and make that a separate recommendation, and then have the one on the fee disparities.
Yes, I think that's appropriate.
Okay.
Now we have a whole set of issues relating to the payment use. And this relates to the discussion that we had as a task force that noted that there are a variety of payment-based uses, and each of them is slightly different. So that's we in this draft note, claims attachment, medical necessity, utilization management, risk adjustment. We should probably have added in that exemplar list quality measurement. Although maybe the intent in this current draft, thinking about how I drafted it, was to push the payment-based use cases to the operations use cases, and I need a HIPAA lawyer to let me know whether HEDIS measurement is considered a payment-based use case or an operations-based use case.
Hey, this is Genevieve. Anything quality measurement related is operations typically per guidance from OCR.
Yeah. So that's what the current draft recognizes somewhat inconsistently.
But Arian, do we really care payment or operation based in this?
No, I'm just trying to remember, frankly, why I wrote it this way and why I didn't include HEDIS measurement, and it was that exact point that caused me to push HEDIS measurement to the operations section. So point one is that payment use cases or payment uses have a lot of specificity associated with them. There's not one thing that's payment. There's a whole bunch of sub-uses that are defined as payment. Some of those payment cases require individual member level access. Others require population level data access. If we go down to the next page. Population level queries for payer-based use cases may require member filtering and other mechanisms to address policy requirements when patients move between payers and plans. So the key point here, and this came out of a comment that David made, is that when you are doing payer-based use cases, you're not just asking for a set of patients, you're actually asking for a set of members who are currently applicable for the level of query that you're trying to do. And there's a whole thicket, as I think people recognize right now, of contractual requirements between payers and providers that if you go to duty to respond, open data access is probably not a well-formed term. If you go to duty to respond, you could get in the way of those contractual requirements in somewhat interesting ways. And the recommendation here is ONC should clearly define sub-purposes of use under the broad payment-permitted purpose and define the policy objectives. ONC should work with the RCEs to establish enablements, including standards, implementation guidance, policy guidance, and profiles for each of the permitted purposes for which duty to respond is required. Thoughts? Hands? David put his hand up. Yes. And comments and go.
I think you captured it somewhere, but I can't find it. Payer relationships sometimes have contractual limitations as well, in addition to the member. Did you capture that somewhere?
Yeah, that's that last clause. In many cases, payer-provider data query have additional, and again, that sentence is really poorly written. In many cases, payer-provider data queries have additional contractual requirements, and the relationships between payers and providers can be substantially affected by staff duty to respond.
Got it. Thanks. That's what I was looking for.
Yep. Okay. With no additional hands, we'll go to the next one. And we make a distinction here between, so this is where we punted HEDIS measurement. We make a distinction here between provider-based, population-based query and payer-based, population-based query. The query needs are similar, but the reciprocity and alignment of value and other kinds of surrounding issues are different.
Hey, Arian, earlier we changed the phrasing on common carrier requirements, but we didn't change it here, so we might want to make a note on that.
Good point. Okay. So number one, we make a distinction between provider-based and payer-based population-based queries. We note that payer-based quality measurement and especially population data queries for evaluating physician performance. And just to back out, there are two defined uses under HIPAA operations that allow for aggregating of data. And broadly defined, there's a bunch of sub-definitions, but broadly defined, the two operations uses that that allow for combining of data across covered entities are quality measurement and measuring physician performance. We're noting here that on the payer-based use of population data to establish physician performance has even more of the market and contractual issues that we noted in our recommendations for payment-based use cases. So I think that's somewhat mildly written. I think providers' heads would explode if the net of PEF would be to allow payers to arbitrarily access data, population-level data that allowed the provider to, for example, make determinations for narrow networks and the like. All right, and our recommendation here is ONC should work with standards development organizations, public-private stakeholders, for example, Argonaut Project and or the Da Vinci Project, and these are examples, to define, test, collect feedback, and refine standards for population-based query for provider-oriented value-based care cases. ONC should work with HHS, OCR, and other stakeholders to align standards with policy requirements to ensure the standards can be used in practice. ONC should delay implementation of these uses until appropriate testing can be performed. And I see, having read this again, that nowhere here do we talk about payer-based cases. I see David has his hand in the queue, and anybody else who wants to comment, please put your hand in the queue.
Yeah. David, go. Yes, David, my concern is that the distinction between these two population use cases is not clear to me, and maybe an additional sentence clarifying what you mean when you talk about payer-based or provider-based population queries. I missed that completely when I read it, so I just think it needs a bit more explanation.
Do you understand it now based on the discussion that we've had, or is it something where...
I think so. Okay. I need to think about it a bit more because I missed it the first time. I think I do. I had a second somewhat unrelated comment. I think it's redundant to what we've said already, but the standards necessary to implement population queries, in addition to being incomplete as the fire bulk query work is still quite incomplete, it may not be compatible with the broker architecture defined for QHINs, and therefore needs the caution that it might require different technical approaches. I think we've covered that elsewhere. But
I think we've covered that elsewhere by recommending that we defer the technical details.
So maybe just a note upward to that, you know, as discussed elsewhere, technical details to support population query may be different than the individual patient.
So just to gloss the first point and acknowledging that the current draft doesn't make this clear and seeking clarification from the task force about whether we should whether this makes sense and is worthwhile including in the task force recommendations, there are a number of needs for population-based query, but there is at least some level of distinction that can be made between the organization that is making the query and whether that organization is effectively an organization of providers in an ACO use case or other value-based care enabling use case where the organizations doing the query are generally not-for-profit associations of or linkages of individual provider organizations, and where those queries are effectively being done on the provider's behalf in order to measure and improve quality measurement that the providers have contracted for, and similar cases where those population level queries are made on the behalf of a payer. And I understand in this world, the distinction between a payer and provider are getting blurred somewhat. But I'd also note from my own experience that there is a different level of sensitivity that provider organizations have with respect to ACOs or other value-based care organizations that they are participating in or clinical integrated networks that they're participating in relative to the same level being queried by an insurance organization, a blue, a national, et cetera, for the purposes of particularly risk adjudication or even more particularly determination of physician performance relating to network size, and in even more particularly relative to payment rates. So I'm going to that's the distinction that this draft is trying to make, is that there are some level of population-based queries where provider organizations effectively already are banding together in order to drive value-based care, and other queries where there is some level of, as it were, an adversarial relationship, and that even though the underlying base query may be effectively from a technology perspective the same level of sensitivity and level of pre-existing contractual issues may well be different. So I'm not hearing a ton of, if folks want to get in the queue and discuss whether that's an important point to make in this draft. In the
Arian,
absence.
Yep. Arian, we're having a bit of a discussion in parallel on the chat session. It's sometimes hard to follow both. do you envision that a single provider or a provider operating on behalf of his group could issue a population query to the payer community and expect to get back data about a population of his panel of patients, his or her panel of patients? Is that the symmetry that you're looking for?
It's a really interesting case, and actually be one where I'd love for Genevieve to comment or somebody else on the ONC side to comment. It does seem to me that there's some level of a duty to respond that is reciprocal in nature for anybody who's participating via a QHIN, so that if
yes.
a payer participated, they would have to be open for query.
Right.
Yeah, this is Genevieve. That is accurate. The way that we envisioned it, and I've been pretty upfront about this, is payers really want the clinical data, but providers really want the administrative data because they need to do some of the same things. And so there is a reciprocity requirement that if you are on the framework, you are providing that data as well, which is also why we renamed the USCDI, because certainly a bunch of those data classes that are in the USCDI are also in the administrative data, and providers might want to be able to get that from payers.
That's good to hear and makes total sense. Then the secondary question, and maybe this is a deferred technical detail, but population bulk queries in both directions reciprocally also or not?
We said both, but it's up to you guys if you want to recommend a variation there.
I don't think we know how to do either one yet, so.
Well, let me be clear. That was a future use case in one sense anyways, but we weren't from a perspective of like the minimum required terms and conditions, splitting hairs over that.
Well, I would certainly favor both. When you know, standards and testing warrants it, I think it makes good sense for a provider's panel to be queryable of the payers as well as the vice versa.
Yep.
So.
And again, just to note that in cases of ACO enablement, payers already provide providers lists of adjudicated data in order to do the activities that are contemplated under that contract as established through contract. But payers do not currently make their member panel data available ad hoc for population level query for organizations that aren't participating in contracts. So we could probably make some of the same comments relating to the somewhat tangled thicket of contractual requirements relative to the much broader and more open access contemplated under the TEF. Okay. So with regard to the recommendation that I previously read, I'm not hearing a ton of edit to the recommendation, except for the notes that we've already made. Waiting two beats. All right, let's go into privacy and security. So number one is we basically note that there's a fairly complicated history here in terms of collection of individual consent or David, what did the privacy and security Tiger team call it? There was a rather lovely term that the
meaningful
Tiger team,
consent.
Meaningful choice,
yeah. That's right.
So the whole cluster of activities relating to meaningful choice, we generally are recommending that it is best, because there is no one broad national set of policies that magically cross dot every I and cross every T, it is generally best to design standards approaches and policy approaches that push the responsibility as close as possible to the locus of care and as close as possible to the provider organization or other organization that is responsible for adhering with state and local requirements. So our recommendation in this area is that ONC should not demand universal requirements to collect and honor individual consent for HIPAA-permitted purposes. ONC should assign requirements in this area to the RCE to address the RCE should consider successful implementations that allow flowing / assigning those requirements to the provider organizations, and they probably should be glossed as closest to the state and local requirement. So David, I see your hands in the queue.
Yeah, I agree with this recommendation. It sounds good. Maybe I'm again being redundant, but in the draft language, there was quite a bit of technical detail about QHINs holding electronic records of consent status and sharing them and having certain duties around implementing them, and it was pretty confusing given current standards how that would be accomplished. So I agree with the policy goal here. I'm concerned that the technical details suggested in the draft are beyond current capabilities.
So the recommendation should note that ONC should not demand universal requirements, including policy and technical enablements to collect and honor individuals.
Yeah, until well-defined standards allow it. I mean, you know, people have proposed all sorts of things in the past, but none of them have been scalable. We've had many consent capture efforts and standards work, but none of them have scaled. So we didn't bring it up. It wasn't one of our questions to address in the work group, but it was one of the ones that was the biggest sort of red flag to me when I read the draft around technical gaps.
This conversation has caused two more hands to raise, so Carolyn and Aaron.
Hey, thanks, Arian. In looking at this, I get the sense that this is a pretty general kind of recommendation when we think about all the different types of data that could be going back and forth. And I'm wondering if we want to say something about kinds of notifications or what the privacy expectation can be of patients when they are submitting patient-generated health data for a particular purpose to a particular recipient. You know, do we want to say something about should patients expect that if they send some kind of PGHD that is going to be made available to anybody or usable by anybody or accessible by anybody for any purposes? Because I think people understand HIPAA and what it means when you're at your doctor's office signing off on HIPAA, but I don't think people have necessarily thought about what it means to have something that you intend to go to your doctor, go to 50 insurance companies.
We do note, so Carolyn, we do note in previous sections of the document that duty to respond should not be assumed or obligated on patients, that they may choose to respond, they may choose to make their data available for broad-scale response, but they should not be inadvertently or explicitly required to do so. So at least in that sense, what we do say is that it really should be up to the patient's control about how broadly they do or don't want to share PGHD or other data.
Arian, but I think isn't Carolyn saying that once that data is provided, where can it go if it's, you know, patient-generated data? I mean,
so that's a very different and really complicated area. There have been, as David notes, a variety of activities that drive segregation of data, particularly for SAMHSA data, but in this area, there may be one might want to contemplate segregation of data for patient supplied data. The basic issue in this case, as I think David would note, is that we have standards-ish, but we don't actually have the policy enablement or the technology enablement to make those standards hooks actually applied in practice.
David, I would agree with that, and I'll also add the patient-generated data and things like correspondence between a patient and a provider are not, I don't think, well mapped in any of those efforts to consent standards. So
yep.
The point about sharing with the payer is a really interesting point. Does private correspondence with the patient get shared as part of the U.S. CDI duty to respond? I don't know.
Yeah, I'll just refrain from comment here because I could comment, but I think we're going to go down a big rabbit hole.
Well, I absolutely agree that it's very complicated, and it's something that hasn't been able to be resolved very well elsewhere, so it would be hard to kind of fully resolve the question here. But I do think it's fairly critical for ONC to have something to say about what we can understand its expectations to be around consumer and patient privacy with regard to personal data, even though it can't dictate the world today. Because as we see repeatedly, patient data and consumer-generated data through all sorts of new consumer health tools has a very significant monetary value. And if nothing is said, then that kind of leaves the door completely open for all sorts of things that we understand implicitly we don't want to see, but could happen because it hasn't ever been noted anywhere else that those things should not happen, and it's not ONC's expectation that they happen. Or conversely, if it is ONC's expectation that it's just fine for the sale of the stuff and the free flow places where patients or consumers didn't expect it, that should be noted too.
So
hold on, guys, stop.
So I'm going to, unless Denise overrules me, I'm going to ask that or note that this topic is really outside of the boundaries of the test. It wasn't one of the questions we were asked to adjudicate. It wasn't one of the, it's a fairly complicated set of items that have legal, both HIPAA and FTC legal considerations applied to it. And so I think it's appropriate as a task force that we've noted that the on the patient side of the TEF or the query angle, patients should be in full control of their obligations to share. And I would recommend that we just stay out of this topic.
And this is Aaron. Let me just quickly comment. I was going to actually go down that direction with you. I also think perhaps we may want to consider may notating that perhaps ONC could work with OCR on further refining maybe standard practices or guidelines for how to deal with this and deal with patient data in the future, much like we did the standards component of this earlier.
Yep. And we do note in the next section that we're about to talk about that with both with regard to patient education on rights and responsibilities, it's a critical area that ONC has created important resources in the model privacy notice, and we recommend that ONC should provide existing background to the RCE but not otherwise constrain requirements for patient education and patient matching.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something more that we want to say that's more affirmative that ONC and OCR should we recommend that OCR and ONC and OCR
partner to further
offer
additional guidance, further educational materials, whatever. But I think calling attention to OCR, particularly given how difficult the landscape could be to what you noted earlier, is important because they are, you know, brothers in arms together organizationally.
Yep. Okay, so the whole cluster of PGHD donation into the ecosystem.
Yep.
Okay. And we'll clean up the language. All right, we are done.
I have my hand. Sorry.
Okay. Hey, Cheryl, go ahead.
So I want to chime in. One aspect here, and I'm not sure that the comment on that recommendation really addresses it, but that we find a lot of members or patients are giving their login data to, you know, the automated bots. And somehow we, I think, need to speak to that here, because at the end of the day, I'm not sure how we're educating them would, you know, help them understand the danger of doing that. And I do agree we need to have that education and have something more than what is currently said. But I think that specifically patients, members need to understand the dangers that they face when they're entering into an agreement with an entity that they may not know, you know, that well. And maybe they think they do, but maybe they don't really know how that entity could potentially use their data.
So I would say at this stage that we have, to the extent that we've made recommendations in this area, we've pointed to the Smart on Fire work that does not require sharing of usernames and passwords and uses OAuth2 and OpenID Connect to establish time-limited authorizations for patient data. So in some sense, I think we've already pointed to recommendations that acknowledge that patients should be in full control and shouldn't hand over credentials in an open-ended way and non-time-bound way. Again, there's always a, you know, if we're making comments about this, is that really relevant to the recommendations that we're actually making? And I think in this case, is we're making recommendations that the individual consent side should, and the individual authorization side should follow best available standards, which certainly would not include handing over creds to a third party. Sasha, you put your hand up if you've got additional comments in this area or something else.
I just, thanks. What, did we land on adding a point about the scope that we addressed in the task force and the scope we haven't addressed in our recommendations, or did that get morphed into another point? I kind of liked, I guess, clarifying it, and I wasn't sure if we landed on actually including it.
Can you?
Yeah, so one of the questions about the most recent recommendation that we were discussing, there was a sense in the discussion that some of it was outside the scope of what we'd been tasked with in terms of the questions we'd been asked. And it sounded briefly like we might note that in our recommendation, just to terms of saying these recommendations are not necessarily inclusive of any possible content we might have been able to discuss because of time and our directive and so forth. Did we land on including that or no?
It's a great point. Let's include that. And in particular, let's include a lot of these fairly thorny topics relating to patient enablement of the ecosystem.
Sounds good.
And I'm writing down a whole set of words that hopefully I will be able to read after this. Okay, we've got an hour left. There is a set of recommendations that Noam has put together and drafted, and a set of language that Mark put together and drafted. We have yet to talk about public health, and I want to be, because it's been a topic that there's been some degree of passion around, I want to make sure that we have the appropriate recommendation language in place for public health. As I think Noam established in his some of the meta commentary that he put around the language, there's an odd issue in the sense that because we are equally split on the constrain versus expand the single on-ramp concept, there's a conditional set of recommendations that we would have relative to if we recommend expanding, then we also need to contemplate or also need to make recommendations relating to the variety of push-based implementations for public health. So, it's almost like a conditional set of requirements that we might want to think about putting into this current draft. Noam, I want to give the floor to you and maybe to Mark as well, since you both had thoughts in each of these areas.
So I put my thoughts in the email. I must still say though that I am still a bit confused by this vote and what the vote really is. And I also myself don't see all that much difference between the second and third recommendations that were voted on. So again, they've switched positions in different documents. So I'm not actually clear still on what the vote was. And I look back and I can't find any documentation of the vote at either in the minutes from the meetings or in any other correspondence. But
okay.
Be that as it may,
just hold there and just create clarity around that point, because we collected, Lauren led the process to collect votes. We did voice vote during the meeting where we had this discussion. Noam, you weren't on that on that meeting. We followed up via email with you and with anybody else who wasn't on the task force call at that time to better collect solicitation of the votes. Noam, we recorded your vote for the expansive option. I won't call it option three. Lauren followed up directly with you to give you the opportunity to gloss or change that vote in any way that you wanted to. The results, and I think the fairest way to describe the results is the results were equally split between focusing on query and establishing some broader set of on-ramp that included exchange modalities beyond query. And so I think it's fair to say that we have an equal 50-50 split between those two positions, and that the formulation of the expansive position is clustered much much more strongly on the broad and expansive single on-ramp. I think that's the fairest way to say where we are, but with regard to the sense of the task force, it's best to say that we're effectively evenly split, as opposed to, I think maybe your concern that you're expressing is that we would use a division or fracture of the expand vote to indicate that the focus on query vote got the most or the plurality. And as I said, I think it's fairest to say that the vote was fairly evenly split between focus and constrain to establish towards a single on-ramp.
Okay, and you would agree that the current draft document that we're looking at on the screen doesn't really express what you just said yet.
Yes, I would definitely agree with that. Yeah, we were waiting on, just to be, again, note the flow of this, we were waiting on consolidation. There's a couple of votes that was now one vote that's outstanding. I think we're just going to proceed without. And to some extent, when you're adjudicating between one vote in a 16-member panel, it is much more fair to say that we're equally split.
Right. So be that as it may, again, I think some language was circulated today that I had written on Friday that is I would characterize as a fairly strong, fairly strident statement. Hoping in Edmonds, but a succinct one, hoping that would sort of spur some conversation to see where we really wanted to end up here in the context of this sort of split. And I'm concerned that these thoughts are expressed, whether they're expressed in the form of a solid recommendation or simply expressed as part of the text of the document. I don't know that I have such strong feelings.
Okay. Would it be worthwhile just to address this topic, Noam, that the number one, I think we've all agreed as a task force, we're going to reflect an even split. Number two, with respect to the permitted uses section, it seems appropriate to establish a recommendation that if ONC or as ONC and RCE or, you know, with some conditional statement, so we recommend that ONC, if conditional statement, recognize that a variety of other exchange modalities are necessary to achieve the stated permitted purposes. For example, in public health, push-based models, and we can provide some examples of push of reportable labs, push of reportable diseases, are heavily used, and we would recommend that, again, with respect to this conditional inclusion, that ONC, the RCE, and the QHINs establish the appropriate exchange modality for those pushes. Is that that's not as elegantly stated as we would do in text, but is that sense, Noam, the sense that you think would be appropriate to include in the recommendations itself?
I think so. I mean, there's a lot of discussion in the chat, and again, it's hard to sort of look at the chat and listen to the conversation at the same time. Look, the bottom line is that public health is concerned about being essentially left out of this. Public health is not actually about the direct protocol really at all. And that's not the primary technology that's used for these push transactions. So in that respect, it's a little different than some of the other uses of direct. I mean, that's essentially the concern.
Yep.
Well, I don't think anybody's confusing it with direct.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing Noam say, and this is actually relating to some points that other folks have made, is that this, the TEF is a really important area of expansion of federal policy with regard to information exchange. And if, to the extent that the TEF focuses on query-based exchange, there are a number of participants, including public health, who feel very strongly that the net effect of that is to diminish the importance of those forms of exchange that require other exchange modalities. That's the sense that I'm hearing. It's the sense that I'm hearing from Noam. It's the sense that I've heard from other commenters in similar areas.
Arian?
Yep.
Would it make sense for Noam to summarize what he'd like to see the TEF contribution be? Because I'm not clear what the goal would be. What would TEF do that it has authority to do?
Yeah,
to address public health needs.
Just to be fair, Noam put together some language here, and the language I think needs to be
here being where.
He put some language that was sent to the full task force.
It was emailed just at the beginning of the meeting.
Yep.
Right, just as the call was starting.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. So maybe you could walk us through what your recommendation is in a couple of words.
Can you put it up on the screen easily enough?
Or I could read it.
Why don't you go ahead and read it, Denise?
Okay. This is his recommendation. ONC should recognize that the core functionality required to fulfill the permitted uses defined in TEFCA is incomplete without the inclusion of the ability to push unsolicited data between participants. An important example of the need for this functionality is public health reporting, which is almost exclusively accomplished using push transactions between clinical care and public health agencies. Therefore, the TEF draft should be enhanced to require support for push transactions by QHINs as part of the floor, noting that this functionality is pervasive enough today as to be foundational. Significant progress has been made in standardizing public health interoperability technical implementations from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, and state and local public health agencies are working hard to align their requirements as permitted by law.
So again, the intent of the formulation that I put out was an attempt to take that language and fit the less maybe passionate tone of the recommendations, but state effectively the same thing. And again, it's conditional on adopting the expansive versus the query only focus, three-year focus for the obligations of the TEF and for QHINs. And note that if the more expansive three-year view is chosen, there are important push-based use cases that need to be contemplated and included. And in particular, there are a number of cases in public health, for example, reportable conditions and reportable diseases that would need to be accomplished through push-based use cases through the QHIN. And I think that's that level of recommendation is the appropriate set of recommendations that follow the rest of the task force recommendations in this letter.
Hey, this is Genevieve. Could I guess ask a question? I'm not sure if it's a question, but so inherent in the recommendation that's up on the screen right now is that we are setting a floor, and this gets to what I was trying to ask in the chat. The TEF is the floor, not the ceiling. So isn't there room, and I'm genuinely asking as part of the recommendations you guys are thinking of, isn't there room to require public health as one of the permitted purposes? So you're enabling the policy side of the public health reporting piece by requiring it as a permitted purpose. But by allowing the support of push functionality or transport methods to be optional, so some qualified HINs likely will, some won't, you're giving some optionality to the system so that not everyone has to support everything. I guess that's kind of my question is, do you have to build the push modality into the minimum set of the modality requirements if you've dealt with the policy side of it and then have an expectation that there are qualified HINs and folks in the industry who will do more?
So Genevieve, I think that statement's actually already well reflected in the text. It, based on previous task force language, it clearly indicates that we don't contemplate that we aren't recommending that the QHINs only do the floor, and that we think from a policy perspective they should be able to do more than the floor. And there's specific language that we put in there that notes that they should and many will choose to go beyond the floor. I think with regard to this language, it is it's noting that if ONC or other stakeholders choose the expanded on-ramp option, or some flavor of the expanded on-ramp option, that there may need to be a broader set of enablements for the floor that include standards, certification requirements in areas such as push for public health messaging.
Okay.
We got David in the queue.
Can I just add to that commentary? I mean, Genevieve, you know, the reason we got into this whole discussion in the first place is because the TEF, for the task force, it was not clear what the TEF really meant with its definition related to single on-ramp. And so as we got into the deliberation about that, obviously the task force fell across the two positions of it really intended the floor to be query-based exchange in this first 3 years of progress versus the kitchen sink and everything, or someplace in the middle above that floor of query-based exchange. So I guess what we're saying is, depending on how ONC decides to approach that clarification of the scope of single on-ramp, will dictate other things.
Yep.
Yes, right. The centuries-old war between push and pull.
Yes, exactly.
We've been fighting for a long time, right?
All right, so we're going to get
called a tug of war.
We're going to get David, Noam, and Mark in the queue, and then hopefully close out this portion of the topic. David.
Yeah, we've been having a discussion in the chat session, so I'm going to repeat a tiny bit of what I said there, just because it's hard to follow both, but. First, just on the public health use of the query side of the network, I'm hugely in support of that and would expect public health entities to be able to query the QHINs for appropriate information about their subjects to the degree that they're allowed to under law, immunization queries, et cetera. The push side and the whole value of the QHIN, let me just add a little footnote, the whole value of the QHIN network is the QHIN keeps track of where the patient has data available, so it knows where to do the query. The push side is typically, whether it's a V2 message or a direct message or a FHIR post, typically has a sender and a receiver that are obligated under local jurisdictions as to who they're allowed to send to and what they can send. And I think it would be very difficult to transfer that knowledge to the QHIN and expect it to somehow become a distributor of push, so you're only talking about a publish-subscribe model, and it's technically feasible, but does it actually add any value? That's what I'm not seeing compared to the complexity of doing it. So
David,
side,
I just want to
clear. Push side, just not so clear to me.
I just want to note that the semantic comment, content of your comment amounts to reaffirming your vote for the focus on query option.
Yep.
And again, just point out that the task force is effectively split on that topic.
But I thought that's what we were discussing now, the value of push.
No, I think we're over that. I'll let Denise rope me in if I'm mischaracterizing the sense of the task force discussion. So number one, we are over discussing the broad topic of, so we overall recommend that ONC should better define what it means by single on-ramp with respect to the TEF. That was a very clear task force recommendation. Number two, we, the task force, are effectively 50-50 split on focus on query versus focus on a broad set of needs. We're now talking about language that amounts to, if the focus on broad set of needs is established, then there's a whole set of additional exchange modalities that need to be better specified, in particular those related to push, and in particular for those related to push, for those related to push for public health. So that's kind of where we are right now in the sense of the task force discussion. And I don't think at this stage we're going to crystallize the task force towards or against the effective 50-50 split that we're in. So right now we're recommending that we stick with telling ONC we're effectively split. Okay, Noam and then Mark. Noam, you might be on mute.
Sorry, maybe I've said enough, so I'll just I'd rather let the conversation go a little bit. Thanks.
Cool, Mark.
So, Aaron, you mentioned my name as somebody to speak at this point. I'm not quite clear what you had in mind. I did send comments mostly in the form of sort of editorial. I don't think they were really substantive except the one I already raised earlier on this call. But I did have some suggested additional, a few additional words around this particular point, not to go to the vote, but just to some context as like Noam's public health context. Is that what you wanted me to mention, or do you, are we done
yes.
with this conversation? You don't want me to bring it up.
No, that was exactly the topic that I wanted you to address. I know you had some thoughts relating to, in particular, public health.
Well, I appreciate Noam's interest in making it clear why it's such an important piece without necessarily changing the vote. And I had a similar suggestion about in the minority recommendation, whatever you're going to label it, but in the recommendation.
We're not going to label it majority-minority.
Got it. But in adding where it says, including push to public health, electronic orders and results, to add the notion of referrals and transitions of care, just to illustrate the range of things that are important around this particular
yep.
recommendation.
So I do want to note that the current draft does note coordinated transitions of care as an important national priority that's included in the
okay.
expanded option. Okay. I think we're through that discussion, and hopefully the task force is understanding the set of recommendations we're going to make in this area. I'm generally believe that what we should do, as I noted, number one is note the task force 50-50 split, and number two is insert a recommendation in the permitted uses and disclosures section that notes that if the expanded, or maybe it should be right after the expanded on-ramp, but that notes that if the expanded on-ramp option is selected, that there will need to be additional enablement, and we can give the examples of that enablement. With regard to next steps, where the next step for this draft, and we don't have much time at all, is to do another turn of the draft that includes numbering the sections and cleaning up the details, so for example, putting in the references, addressing the language that we've talked about today, in particular the 50-50 split language, the language relating to other modalities of care, and the comments that we had to the sections. At this point, the intent would be to turn another turn of this draft today, and I'd ask that Denise, myself, ONC team members be prepared to really quickly turn this out and give it to the full task force, and also ask the full task force be in the position to do a really quick turn as well. I think Lauren has indicated that although we really wanted to get recommendations out to the full committee today so they'd have time to review it before the committee meeting tomorrow, that we could do it tomorrow as well. I'd also note, as being a committee member, that we're really going to be hurting ourselves by not giving committee appropriate time to review. So I'd like to ask and understand the quick turn that's required here, that comments be provided tonight or very early tomorrow so that we can get final recommendations out by noon, and look to Lauren to see if that plan makes any sense.
Yes, Arian, I agree. The quicker the better.
And by noon, I mean noon East Coast time, not noon mine time.
This is Genevieve. The high tech committee is on Wednesday, right? Not
yes.
Tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay. Let's double check.
But we at least want to give everyone close to 24 hours as possible to review.
So, Arian, can I recommend that you mention an explicit time that you need comments from task force members back, so that we are all helping you and everybody's clear on when that help must be given?
I think it would be best to have comments provided well before 9 a.m. tomorrow, and comments would be best provided before 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern today. Does that make sense to people?
So when are we going to get the – are you going to send us
– as soon as humanly possible.
Okay. And then you want it back by 6 Pacific.
Yes.
6 p.m. Pacific today.
Yes, 9 p.m. Eastern.
And in the form of just revisions to the Word document, comments to the side or something like that?
Yep.
Okay.
Arian, you're aware that Zoe is out of the office today, right? So you're copying other ONC folks on what you're sending out, right?
We'll make sure, Genevieve, to copy you as well.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Yep.
Yep. And Lauren.
Yeah, Lauren always gets copied, no matter what she does.
lucky her.
Arian, we did get some public comment from Mark Siegel, and I sent it to you.
Yeah.
And actually, I don't think that any of it is necessarily substantive, but it might they might be some good edits. I'd like you to look at it and see what you think.
Yeah,
and
of course.
And it's related to the RCE specifically, just those two pages.
I think, and Lauren, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's a general statement that all public health is welcome and useful, and
public comment,
public comment, and sorry, thank you, and that the task force reserves the option to address that public comment in drafting. We don't want to call or single anybody out, but again, thanks to Mark
Siegel.
I
think Dr.
Siegel
did
hard editing work. Yeah.
Yeah, Dr. Siegel gave some good suggested wording changes, but I'll let you look at it and see what you think.
All right. So at this point, rather than spend the next half hour doing additional conversation, I think it would be useful, number one, to see if the task force has other drafting comments that haven't already been addressed.
Arian? You know, I threw in the draft some comments that were just based on what I heard people say. I just want to, if people think that things have been addressed, then my comments can be deleted.
Yep.
Arian?
Yes.
One comment that I had made in an earlier run-through of this to myself that I don't think has come back up, that just put in the back of your mind, is there are a couple of places where we discuss QHIN's ability to do things that go beyond the floor, perhaps out of sync with other QHINs. And I wanted to just make sure that there was clarity that we thought that was okay, as opposed to something that would be prohibited by the common agreement.
That is in the draft.
Our draft or the...
It is in our draft, and
we need to discuss that at all, or is it, did we have discussion, I just don't remember it?
I think we did have discussion, and we believe that that should be in there.
That's my recollection.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it
So here's the current text. The task force does not wish to restrict the evolution of the QHIN model over a longer period of time or imply QHIN should offer only exchange modalities defined by the Trusted Exchange Framework. As some QHINs and EHR developers may be able to advance capabilities more rapidly for a broader single on-ramp. However, we recommend the task force establish priority for floor services over the initial three period of the RC cooperative agreement. And then this is where we go into the 50-50. And each of the non-expansive three-year priority cases, note, additional exchange needs may be satisfied by QHINs if they offer exchange services above the floor and or by other HINs.
Okay, so I that sounds good. I think we could spend a lot more time on the subtleties of that, but maybe it's best not to.
Yes.
then a second note to myself in the margins from a previous review, and I really hesitate to bring it up, but we've talked about price structures and competition around QHIN to QHIN interchange, but if we really wanted to see a competitive ecosystem, you would have to have competition between participants and QHINs, which would imply probably some degree of standardization if you wanted the competition to be meaningful. And we don't address that. No one's addressed that, and I'm not really sure I even would recommend that we do it, but it is a gap.
It's definitely an area. That's right, exactly. So I was thinking about direct. It's definitely an area that, in retrospect, not specifying a single connection point to direct impeded the ability of the direct ecosystem to expand or establish price competition as quickly as we might have otherwise wanted.
Right, and uptake probably as well.
Yep.
Because there was no standard.
Sorry,
can you just clarify, are you talking about fee structures and pricing from qualified HINs down to participants and end users?
What I was
getting at is the fact that if vendors and QHINs have highly evolved proprietary connections between them, it makes it very difficult for competition of between the QHINs to get the vendor's business. And absent that, there's not a lot of pressure to drive the cost of a QHIN to the participant down. Does that make sense? In other words, it's the other side. We've talked about QHIN to QHIN competition, but there's also an opportunity for competition QHIN to participant or QHIN to EHR. And to enable that would require a whole lot more standards work, and maybe it's not worth it.
Yeah, but so the one thing I would actually say is limits on statutory authority, because when you look at Section 4003, I think is the number, that for the Trusted Exchange Framework, it is very clear it is between health information networks.
Yeah, good point.
So
Got
we
it.
Have some statutory limitations is what I would say, but if there are things in the certification side, certainly when that regulation comes out, that might be a place to comment on some of that.
I would recommend that unless the task force broadly feels like this is a critical item that we missed that we should make recommendations on, I would recommend at this stage in drafting that we stay silent.
I'm okay to accept that, and I'm the one who brought it up. So.
And I believe just as strongly as David does that it was an oops in the direct case, and it probably will be an oops in this case.
Okay. I'm okay as well. Didn't see it in the charge to the task force.
And as Genevieve notes, very deliberately so. Okay. At this stage, then, hearing no other task force members bringing up critical items that we missed, I'm going to recommend that we go to public comment and then that Denise and I go heads down on drafting mode. And what I'd propose is that we will flip a redlined and a clean copy draft to the task force as quickly as humanly possible.
Okay.
But sometime in advance of 6 p.m. PT.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you both for all the hard work and to ONC staff.
I did comment to the advisory committee that being a task force chair is probably the hardest and most thankless job of all of the jobs on the committee.
Well, I think you've got the thanks from all of us as committee members.
And I'm taking you as your co-chair because you've taken on the lion's share.
If you want to remain thankless, I take it back.
Thank you, David. Well played. All right, why don't we go to public comment?
Sure. And just before that, I believe, Genevieve, you had maybe additional comments before we go to public comment?
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that I said thank you for all of your work. I understand that we put you guys to a task at an incredibly fast pace when you all have day jobs. And so I'm really appreciative of the time and effort and thought you put into this. And if it makes you feel any better, some of the conversations you guys had where you maybe ended up split are some of the same exact conversations we had internally and ended up a bit split as well. So I really appreciate the thoughtfulness behind it, and I look forward to seeing the final recommendations.
Thank you,
Genevieve. Great. Thanks, Genevieve. And operator, can we please open the line for public comment now?
Yes. If you would like to make a public comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your comment from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys.
Thank you. And do we have any comments in the queue at this time?
There are no comments at this time.
Okay. We will conclude public comment, and Erin, if there's nothing else, we will adjourn, and it looks like we'll be hearing from everyone soon.
Perfect.
Okay, thank you all.
All right, Erin.
Thanks so much.
I'll look
bye.
For the
bye.
Draft.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.